This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back. We're getting into the 8 hour, as Michael Flack says. Michael, we haven't done much on the celebrity front. I know this presidential election is basically one big celebrity mashup when you consider all the things that people are using. Hillary's trying to use the big names. Donald is a big name. Anything else that we need to know about current trending topics and celebs?
Well, something that's really, I think, gone under the radar and, like, slipped under the rug was the fact that Prince Harry has a new girlfriend, and it's official.
Okay, let me guess. She's blonde, comes from good stock, parents make a lot of money out of something nefarious.
She's not blonde, not sure about her parents making money, but she doesn't come from a royal family. She actually comes from Suits, the series. Meghan, I don't know if her surname's Markle.
Yeah, Meghan Markle.
So was she that one who always looked constipated and was kind of with that guy Mike?
Well, it's Mike's fiance now.
Right.
Yeah, what's
soon her, to be wife.
What's her character name again on the show?
Ethel.
No.
It's not Ethel.
She's honestly, I've got like the biggest crush on her, and I can see why Prince Harry does as
really?
Well.
Yeah,
she's
35 years old. Harry is 32, so nice little, you know, cougar vibes going on there.
She's 35?
She's 35. She looks great for 35,
I'm about to say, yeah. I mean,
she looks amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
But she was getting all harassed on social media and everything over the fact that she's dating Prince Harry to the point where...
See, that's the only problem when you date Prince Harry.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think royalty has to date royalty, just like a... The Cinderella movie where that Royal Highness throws like a ball for all the people so his son can meet another royal member and then get married. So she got so much backlash to the point where, what's that castle called that they live in?
Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, Buckingham Palace released like a press statement saying like, guys, please leave her alone. It's not acceptable and all this stuff. So it must be getting pretty serious if Prince Harry's even getting pissed off about it.
But yeah, again, like, what rights do you as a human... No, you can't date that guy.
I mean... and you know, it's just the most bizarre thing in the world because, you know, there are probably a lot of men out there who wish that they could, you know, get a woman as attractive as this Meghan Markle. And there are a lot of women who are stuck with very average men in their lives, you know, fantasizing about dating a prince. But then you want to go and have, you know, like your 2 cents worth on two people who are just happily going about their business, dating, having sex, enjoying their life. I mean, what's it to you? Why must you be so affected by whoever the hell Prince Harry is sleeping with? So apparently this poor woman, you know, has been harassed by the media to the point where it became sexist and racist, blah, blah, blah. And you know,
yeah, because isn't she her dad's black and her mom's white?
Well, that's the thing.
Something like that. So people obviously try to prey on that because people are dicks.
Yes, you know, because people are dicks, and because, you know, historically the English, you know, they're very, very classist bunch. They like looking down on each other.
You imagine the Queen going, her father was what?
Her father was a what? A black?
Oh, Harry, you've gone too far this time.
Harry, how dare you bring this mixed race nonsense into the pure bloodline?
I'd be very scared, like, dating a... Well, I wouldn't date a prince, but I'd date a princess. But imagine, like, okay, we normal, simple people. We go meet the family at a braai. We'll meet the grandpa. We'll say hello. Then we'll go sit at the table and eat our food. There now, you're meeting the Queen of England, you're meeting the father, you're meeting like 400 people who are at your state dining room.
I don't know. I guess it's just because I'm old, but I reckon that these royals are, you know, highly overrated, very uptight, boring bunch. I mean, I just imagine that it's just all boring as hell, aside from the obvious perks of, you know, dating somebody who's wealthy. But other than that, I picture it to be very stuffy and uptight and boring half the time.
Completely, because they're living this pantomime, because they are essentially the most entitled people on earth,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Because back in the day, I don't know, Gareth will probably correct me or tell me the full story here, but back in the day, these people basically took power and status and they just created something. Like, what is royalty? It's a made-up thing. It's a completely made-up bollocks thing, right? And with that came all the land, all the wealth, all the power. Mm. But they were essentially just entitled people who just wanted shit and they took it.
Yeah. there's absolutely nothing special about the lot of them.
So they've got to live up to all this pretense. And this, I mean, like, I wouldn't date Prince Harry, per se, if that was my thing.
Well, you and Flax wouldn't.
Yeah, well, exactly. So I think this Rachel, whatever her name is, Ethel.
Her character name is Rachel.
Is it? Okay.
Her name is Megan.
Well, Megan, good luck to you, but you made a very difficult life choice for yourself here.
I heard that, like, when things start getting serious, that Megan will have to go for princess training.
Yeah, it's kind of like
what knife to use for the bread, what knife. Because I picture her now sitting at this long dining table about to butter her bread, and the person next to her is like, no, you don't want to do that. You don't, not that fork.
So, Michael, basically, it's no different to then just marrying a Jewish guy. She's going to have to, like, do a royal Magai.
Yeah, she's going to have to Magai.
Exactly the same thing.
But, I mean, I still can't believe that they do that whole etiquette training thing because, you know, again, for me, all of this stuff is just so outdated. It's incredibly outdated. It's like, what is the relevance of it all?
But isn't that what royal families like to do, carry on heritage and stuff like that?
Yeah, because if they start wearing, like, trainers and tracksuits and all that kind of stuff, people went, well, hang a second, you're not taking your tax money if you're going to be a slob. It's a big tourism spinner, this whole etiquette and, like, living in the old Victorian way sort of shit.
I heard they've taken this heritage thing to such a point where Prince William's little boys are not allowed to wear long pants. They have to only wear short pants, no matter if it's winter, summer, spring, autumn, short pants, because that is their heritage.
No, I don't know.
Is Court Brook from Skulkvik the dad? That sounds ridiculous.
Look, I'm not so sure about that, because William and the Duchess, you know, they're known for trying to seem like they're just normal, average people, or at least for trying to seem as if they're fitting in with normal, average people. I mean, as far as I know, their children go to, you know, normal schools with what I suppose the English would call common folk.
Yeah.
You know, because they're trying so hard to make it seem like, oh, no, guys, there really isn't anything special about us at all. We want our child to go to the preschool that's attended by all the other kids in the neighborhood. So, you know, for them, it almost seems as if they try and, you know, shy away from that whole, oh, we're royal and special thing.
Yeah, well, let's get into some of the messages here. Just take a little royal break. Tabile says, Mubs, you look good for 34 too.
Oh.
Yeah, and Spessler wants to taste your juice. That's quite consistent. It's from Kenneth. Why are we so worried about a businessman running the U.S.? Running the U.S. or us? Okay, just go with running us. Herman Mashaba is running Joburg. Ben, has your standard of living dropped or increased? Albeit it's kind of early to see major changes. Kenneth, I'm poor. I'm not a rich man. So I don't care who actually really runs things.
So what? Has your standard of living then not increased?
No, because I've just had a bit of a tough year. But I mean, look, I get what you're saying with this. I think people are just, they love being hysterical for the sake of hysteria.
Yeah, that's what we do. We love overreacting.
And then Margaret, further to that point on the Touch Central app, says, Trump will win. Everyone will go crazy for a week. Shit will calm down. Mike Pence will draw up a policy. Shit will stabilize. Trump will get bored and make some random changes. The top 34 lawyers in the U.S. hired by Democrats are going to dig up every ounce of dirt on Trump, and you'll see major legal battle. More legal battles than suits. Ultimately, the people will vote him unfit with a 51% majority. Pence will take over and see out the 4 years.
Sure.
So there's an interesting little side take there by Margaret.
That is a very specific, detailed, and well-thought-out prediction by Margaret.
But she does make a good point. Something I forgot to bring up earlier is that as much as democracy can see a crackpot like Trump come into power here, unlike in South Africa, presidents are accountable for their actions in the U.S. democracy. So if he wants to go and be all kind of crazy, then all that's going to happen is he'll be recalled, things will actually happen, and people will say, you can't do this, you're being impeached. It's only here in South Africa where you get a full vote of confidence for a guy who's basically just
doing whatever
the
wants.
Hell he is doing.
And getting away with whatever he wants.
Yeah, that's... Okay, Spare says, Mubs, if Trump wins, can I taste your juice?
No.
There's an update there.
No, Spare. Spare, I have to decline at the request of having my juice tasted because it's just, you know, it's just an odd question to ask me in front of everyone.
Spare, how about you send Mubs some slices on the Kalkakio app? Maybe that'll be your only chance. So just grease her palms a bit with some nice pizza, and maybe you can taste the juice after that.
Oh, my
word. He's not going to let it go, Mubs.
I can't.
Okay, Michael found something quite interesting, I thought, was remember when the Zimbabwean elections and suddenly there was about 1,000 people who were like 120 years old voting for Bob. So basically dead people were turning up at the polls.
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I don't know if this is actually such a crazy story, if you can believe any of this. Ba-ba.
To the polls tomorrow, a new CBS 2 News investigation found dead people have also voted.
Indeed, or at least votes were cast in their names during the June primary. CBS 2 investigative reporter David Goldstein's here with that. Dave.
Yeah, Pat and Paul, this is our second investigation into this. In May, we uncovered more than 250 names of dead people whose state records show voted in Southern California over the past 8 years. Now we find more, and loved ones are concerned.
Well, honestly, I think she's rolling over in her grave right now. Yeah.
Kim Holmes is talking about her grandmother, Marge Balicki. She died 15 years ago. This gravestone marks the spot where she's buried at a Burbank cemetery. But we uncovered state records showing a vote cast in Balicki's name in the June California primary.
That's crazy to me. I don't understand that. And I'd like to know who's behind it and how that happened.
And she's not the only one. We compared millions of voting records from the California Secretary of State's office with death records from the Social Security Administration. Last May, we found 265 dead voters in Southern California over the past 8 years. A vast majority of them, 215, in L.A. County alone. Now we looked at the June primary and found even more. 11 additional dead voters in L.A. County voted in the primary, and one in San Bernardino, bringing the total now to 277 in Southern California. The numbers come from state records that show votes were cast in that person's name after they died. People like Gladys Anderson. She lived in this house in South L.A. and would be 106 years old today if she were alive.
Of course she was. Her name's Gladys. There's no way she was born in the last 100 years. 116 years old. Go on, Gladys. You make your mark there, love.
Is this the vote rigging that Donald Trump was alluding to?
See, although that's exactly why I wanted to bring it up.
I don't think he wants to speak about vote rigging currently at the moment with his lead.
Well, they didn't say who these dead people were voting for.
No, they didn't.
Because I'm sure Donald wouldn't mind if it was for him, but he'd be irate if it was for Hillary. But sure, Donald made that big point about the fact that vote rigging is not coming to play and, you know, things are rigged and even if he loses, he's not going to accept the vote and all that kind of stuff. So as much as he is out in front now and it's still looking like he is going to win, if it turns around and suddenly Hillary wins, can you imagine the backlash? Because, you know, you said there's going to be two speeches. They've prepared a winning speech and a losing speech.
Yeah.
Donald's prepared a winning speech and I don't accept the speech. That's pretty much what Donald's got on the back burner there.
Pretty much, yes.
Anyway, we found some very interesting clips that we want to share with you just in the last hour here. Gareth will not be with us for the rest of the show. He is tired. It's nothing more to it. It's about 1:30 in the morning there for him. And you know, Gareth's a little bit more mature than the rest of us. He has naps and then he has to be at bed by a certain time, otherwise he can't really function. We'll all get there one day, so yeah. We've got to sympathize with him now.
Also, he's going to be catching a flight, you know, a flight in the next few hours, so he probably just wants to de-stress, calm down, and, you know, make sure that he's awake and alert to sleep again for an odd 20 hours coming back home.
No, exactly. And also, you know, in his condition, deep vein thrombosis.
Oh, yeah, no. Terrible, yeah. Terrible. Yeah,
that kind of stuff always gets you over 40. It's just one of those things. So we've got some more great clips to play for you. And it's now apparently legal to smoke marijuana recreationally in California. So if you thought this whole elections isn't important, well, I tell you there, you can now smoke weed in California. That to me that's enough reason to go to the polls. And I don't even smoke weed.
Download the Touch Central app from Google Play Store or iTunes Store. Touch Central FM.
Be as you are. Which isn't a bad thing because Trump was just being as he is all the time and suddenly he's leading this big election. Who would have seen it? Sorry, Mubs. It's unbelievable. It's when I turn your mic on.
Yeah.
I was doing so well. I really was. I was doing so well, and then there you go.
Don't be hard on yourself.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm just like that. You know, I'm trying to give the best here. Just go through your messages. Earlier on, Dirk sent a message saying, Gareth, don't you want to talk about the other votes that are happening in America right now? People are voting for law changes like weed is now legal in California as of today.
Okay, so plenty of people who will probably look for a reason to get high of the high out of their minds as of today, depending on, you know, how they wanted the voting to go.
Yeah, so California, when Donald wins, they probably won't realize for like a week. They'll be like, "Whoa,
like, hey, man, I'm just,
Donald,
you know,
come on,
yeah, I'm just
this weed's way too strong." So you got to ask the question, like, what is Donald doing right now? What's Hillary doing right now? Because their campaign's done, okay?
Yes.
They can't dig up any more dirt in each other. It's pretty much just, well, they just got to sit and wait. So they can't influence or manipulate a single thing anymore.
Look, that is a very good question to ask, because I can imagine that they'll probably have, you know, a ton of people hovering around them, you know, telling them all sorts of things in their ear. They're probably on their phone messaging people. They, you know, they communicating with whoever their speech writers are, you know, depending on, well, which speech do you think we need to focus on now, the victory speech or the losing speech? It's... And their adrenaline levels must be through the roof.
Yeah.
It must
well,
be
especially
very...
Donald, because he's thinking, you can't be serious. They actually voted for me. Well, here's an old guy. He's old, so he obviously knows who he's talking about. Talking about what presidents have done or presidents-elect have done in the past while this whole capture process takes place.
And I must say that there's something about the whole ritual, like... concession speeches, which I love, I've said that before, and crying when you lose. These are very important rituals. Going to dinner at this time, what you do is you go to, Tip used to do this, my first guy I worked with in 72, Wayne Owens did this, Jack Kennedy did this, Ben Bradley, his buddy. They went up to see a porn movie.
You what?
Know? Oh, yeah, during the West Virginia. I mean, they didn't want to be anywhere near news.
They went to, like, a porn theater?
Well, they tried to go to a nice one, and that was closed. They couldn't get in, so they went
tried.
To the other one.
Your nicer
yeah.
one.
So the thing is, you try to desperately do what we're doing in a different way. Hide from the news. You don't want anybody coming in with, well, with 1% in, because yeah. that just drives you crazy. So mm-hmm. Tip yeah. went off to dinner, he comes back, and said, we lose the house, what happened? What happened? And they all hide. And right now they're eating somewhere, Japanese restaurant, I remember one of those. You go away from it because they don't want to be here while we're doing this.
Nicole, was that your experience?
Well, so in 04.
Yeah, I'm guessing Donald's, whatever he's doing, he's got his bronzer next to him, just making sure if he goes on camera, his orange hue is just right.
Right.
Hillary is probably on some sort of life support because it's very late for her.
Oh, isn't Trump older than Hillary, though?
Yeah, but Hillary's had all the health problems.
Oh, yeah, she had the pneumonia. And
yeah, she's been an absolute mess. But I tell you what is also not doing so well at the moment is the Canadian immigration website. So apparently it is crashed. It's just been inundated with visits and it has crashed.
Oh, dear. So this is a real thing, right? So you've got a lot of people in America right now who are probably in panic mode. And so see if looking you can, for a way out.
Yeah, see if you can do that.
what? Go onto their website.
See, just a whole bunch of tweets saying immigration site is currently down. There's server issues. People are just like, uploading screenshots from like, this isn't just for an hour period. This is a long period of time that it's been crashing ever since this election map has been going red.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I don't know, guys. I think... I mean, it's very difficult for me to tell at the moment what percentage of the votes have been counted. You know, I have no idea if they're
yeah,
at the halfway
confusing.
Mark, post the halfway mark. I think Trump is going to win it.
But just on that whole immigration thing, I know people have this habit of always saying things like, oh, that's it, the country's gone to shit, I'm going, I'm leaving. But, like, Americans, and this is just so funny, the idea of Americans leaving their country, the land of the free, because it's gone to shit.
Yes.
Where would we go? Like if we were to say, okay, well, this election's going badly, let's get out of here. I mean, have we got any options, really? Let's be honest. The South African passport doesn't do a whole bunch.
I was going Ooh. To go to America.
Yeah.
But now that just, my chances there just got ruined.
That's a difficult one for me to answer because I have never wanted to leave.
Mm-hmm. It's just never been part of your thought process.
I've never felt at any point in my life that, oh, this country, this, I wanted to leave. So... That's a difficult one for me to try and imagine.
But where could we go? I mean, I wouldn't think Lesotho or Swaziland's going to be anything of an option. Namibia's, well, they've got a desert. They use the rand, though, so it'd be quite easy to acclimatize. Things look quite stable there.
Look, at one point, didn't Nigeria's economy trump ours? Like, weren't they doing better than our economy at some stage?
Yeah, but I don't think we can go to countries because they got better economies. They all have better economies.
No, but if you're going to leave home, you're trying to leave for, you know, a place with better conditions.
Yeah, but in Nigeria, you'll die of old age and traffic, though. or you'll get kidnapped.
That's fine. I'm happy to die of old age or in traffic.
So you were literally going to work, and then 20 years later you die. And do you really want that, my buddy? I don't think you quite grasp the point of this game. We're looking to go somewhere better.
I mean, I don't know. I would much rather die of old age and traffic in Nigeria than, you know, I don't know, some war-torn country.
I can try...
Semantics.
Fair enough.
I can try put in a good word with my people and get you into Israel.
Yeah, but Michael, it's always volatile here. And I tell you what, Hebrew isn't exactly something you can embrace.
No, that's Arabic.
It's pretty close, trust me. They both sound equally offensive.
I don't know where I would go then. Well, then let's just go next door to the island of Mauritius.
Well, see, I mean, that's where I think, regardless of what happens here, I'd like to do that. Great golf courses, tropical, nice beaches.
Yeah.
4-hour flight from here, not so far into the rest of the world.
Great food, it's laid back.
But then, you know, South Africans get murdered there quite a lot in crimes of passion. So we might not be able to get in there.
Yeah, but they are murdered by other South Africans.
I know. So they don't want more of us coming over and murdering and putting a bad rip on the island. I reckon we should talk to O'Neill. O'Neill, he's got a show here on Touch Central.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he can maybe get us into Botswana.
Hey,
Botswana
now,
sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to Botswana. I've heard from the guys that the women of Botswana are extremely gorgeous, and, you know, I'm hoping that the same is true for the men. And if O'Neill is, you know, any standard to go by, then there's hope that the men are also kind of good looking.
Yeah.
Because that's important.
See, Botswana's been this, like, sleeping giant for so long. I think it holds a lot for us. Okay, I know they've got that, what's it called? There's, like, a big area where it's just desert, basically.
Mm.
Huge amount.
Yeah, look, sure, put Botswana on the list. Are we going to consider places like Morocco or Egypt?
Yeah, I see. It's just the ISIS. Because, you know, it's top of Africa and they're kind of around there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can go somewhere with too strict a religious code either.
Yeah.
Especially as a woman. You're going to battle.
So you see, this is why I'm more than happy to stay here. I mean, I don't have any problem staying in South Africa. I really don't.
Okay, so we've got the option of Onizi's going to get us into Botswana. Michael's going to talk to his people in Israel.
There's Mauritius minus, you know, you taking a South African who will kill you when you get there.
Don't murder anyone in the Mauritius is all open. Because I don't ever see Australia being an option. That to me is not an idea of fun. South America's got the language things, and they're also quite aggressive.
No European countries for you?
No, it's screwed. You're about 17 rows behind the Syrians. You're never going to get a job.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't let us in anyway.
And another thing is, we'll only get into certain countries if we're officially asylum seekers. And things aren't bad enough, because things are going to be really bad before you can become an asylum seeker. If you tick that box, they're going to ask you big questions.
No, but why aren't we considering South America, guys?
Because they're very poor. They've got no money. I mean, have you seen Venezuela down? Colombia is apparently very nice. People are very happy there. We had that list of best places in the world.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, we're going to go there, and everyone's really good looking, so we're behind the food chain there. Mm-hmm. Spanish, yeah. Got to speak Spanish fluently, so we're behind there as well.
What about Argentina? We're not considering Argentina.
Yeah, see, also with the Spanish, and those guys are really aggressive.
Bulgaria.
Yeah, I think Eastern Europe is probably our best option, actually. Developing, third world, yet still not so bad.
Putinland? We don't want to consider Vlad?
No.
Or maybe we should all go to North Korea. How about that? Let's all go to North Korea.
Again, you know, these are tough choices, but we can't knock anything at the moment. Just looking through more of the messages, it appears that Tabung doesn't like you. Now, he had some issue against you and your news. Now, Mubs, you are so negative and pessimistic. Drains me fucking empty. Have you ever drained someone empty before? Literally and physically?
No, I'm not. I mean, not, you know, I immediately jumped to the conclusion of vampires. Look, Tabang, that's fine. You know, in life, you are going to encounter people who irritate you for whatever reason that may be. And that is perfectly fine. You're not going to like everybody or get along with anyone. And that's the way I am. And you must just deal with it or not.
Tabang, just let us know, who do you like? I mean, I'm getting the impression you just don't like any of us. You're giving Mabali gears about being pessimistic and negative. But
yeah, but I mean,
you sound like a bit of a negative Nancy yourself.
No, it's okay. I mean, look, Tabang, you don't, I mean, really, if I annoy you for whatever reason, that's just the way it goes, my man. It's fine.
Alrighty. Quinton is saying, one thing that always rings true in a democratic country is that the people always get the politicians they deserve. See, I know that's a good statement because it's kind of true, but I don't agree with it whatsoever. Because ultimately, every country gets shit politicians. Not every country has shit people. It's like you can't, but there's no correlation between the two. Politicians aren't like normal people. That's the thing. The whole thing about being a civil servant, being a person of the people, mm-hmm. the system is so rigged that they can't be. They earn way too much money. They get way too much power. And basically, you've got to kiss ass your whole way through to get to a position. So,
I mean, I've always thought that, you know, even if you are a genuinely good person who gets into politics with the intention of serving the people, it probably becomes very difficult for you to not end up being a douche because of the nature of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Anushka says we should give Trump a chance. It might be that he is the answer to the world's problems. What if he is the answer to world peace?
Well, then Donald Trump will have surprised a lot of us.
Yeah. Innes says, all in the WeChat app for Cliff Central. Oh, shit. I better check if I have some of those canned foods left from the 94 elections. The end is nigh. Mm. Okay. I don't think it's that bad, is it? I don't know.
I don't think so.
But, Mabs, in times like this, I always believe a little bit of Demi Lovato will change anything.
Oh,
so okay. If you're feeling a bit glum, the fact that you think the world's going to end because Donald Trump might become the president, it's okay. Seriously, everything will be okay tomorrow. And we'll be here the whole way through. It's all going to be fine. I promise you it's going to be fine. So I see some people are actually writing Harambe on their voting ballots.
But I don't understand.
So people really, really just want Harambe to be the president, which is fair enough.
Oh, okay.
So if you go onto the ballots, in the American ballots, there's obviously some spaces after all the different candidates. And some people have either written Harambe or they've taken post-it stickers into the ballots box with them. And they've written Harambe with a tick and then put it on there.
You know, I must say, I'm thoroughly enjoying Twitter this morning with all the different jokes that are being said about this election and, you know, watching people get hysterical and watching people fight and argue amongst each other. It's very, very entertaining. And some of these jokes are really, really classic.
All right. What are some of the better ones you've seen?
So I just saw one that says, things are so quiet at the Hillary Clinton headquarters, you can almost hear an email being deleted.
I'm actually pretty amazed that just looking through all the different platforms, from our messages this morning on our various platforms to Twitter, to the websites around the world, how much interest is really in this election? Like, I knew it would be a big deal.
Mm.
But, I mean, it's been crazy trying to get the messages here today and the different kind of notifications. It really is just something that has captured the imagination of the world to think that Donald Trump, an absolute, let's be honest, dickhead, could actually be leading, as they say in the movies, the free world.
Yes, yeah. It's, you know, 2016 has been a year full of surprises. Again, you know, earlier we were talking about Brexit and how nobody saw that coming. And here we sit with a potential Donald Trump victory. It's very exciting.
But every now and again, Donald does have a couple of pearlers, and this is just one. You know, we spoke earlier about the fact that Crooked Hillary was trying to get all these big name stars just before the voting opened to kind of just show how, you know, she's with it. This is it. This is the America that she's going to have with all these big celebrities. And Donald's like, yo, what else? I don't need celebrities. Let's listen to what he's got to say about Jay-Z and the rest of them.
Because without Jay-Z and Beyonce and all of these people.
I love the smug tone he gets every now and again. All of these people.
And by the way, my language is much, much cleaner, as you know, than Jay-Z and Beyonce. Boy.
Yeah, grab him by the pussy.
Did you hear what, I mean, honestly, did you hear that the other night? And so many people were insulted, they left. Because she can't draw a crowd. So she gets stars, but they were so insulted. You know, they're political people. They went in to hear a political something, and they hear the worst words, the worst language ever. So they mostly left. By the time Hillary was left to speak, there was practically nobody there. But that's okay. That's okay. See, and we do this, all of these thousands. And by the way, There are thousands and thousands of people outside trying to get in. Thousands. You've got thousands. The cars are lined up 3 miles down the road. It's crazy. And you know the beauty of this crowd? It's without a guitar. There's no guitar. There's no pianos. You know what it is? It's making America great again. That's what the important thing is. That's what it is. Because the other stuff, frankly, is demeaning to what we all represent. It's demeaning.
What other stuff, Donald? There is no other stuff. All you have is Make America Great Again. That's the guy's about to win this election on the back of just that, a bumper sticker.
Which, you know, I mean, regardless of how you feel about the man, if that's all it took, then, yo, he did well, eh?
Well, speaking from one crackpot to another, I would like to like Julius Malema. I know Gareth has his allegiances with him and has got along with him. But this dude, every now and again, it's like, he's a clever guy. We all know this. He's been on the show a few times. He really is. I mean, I think he's quite solid when it comes to what his beliefs are and where he's going.
Politically astute, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But then sometimes he just says things and you go, okay, hang on a second, but now you can't be taken too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to this and just think if you agree with me or disagree with me. Something he said recently, just as we're on such a big political show today.
Every time we are fighting with Zuma, these white fellows, they are clapping hands. They think we have forgotten what is our strategic objective. Zuma is not our strategic objective. Our strategic objective is the defeat of white monopoly capital. And that defeat of white monopoly capital means the ownership of property must change and be transferred into the hands of the people. The mines must be nationalized. The banks must be nationalized. The land must be expropriated without compensation. That's what we are talking about. Zuma is a by the way. So white men, before you clap hands for EFF, you must think twice.
Okay, I'm just gonna hold it there. So basically, you can't support the EFF if you're white. Is this kind of what he's saying? By the by, here.
Look, you see, one of the many things that Julius Malema is very good at is, you know, speaking up or speaking to different people's different emotions, yep, at different times. So there have been times, you know, in his career where he has said things particularly to make white people feel a little bit less nervous, a little, yep, bit more welcomed and, you know, accommodated. And then there are other times where he's just, you know, spoken to the exact opposite, where, you know, he tries to paint white monopoly capital as the enemy. I think this is what, you know, this is what Julius is known for. He's good at playing up different things at different times to, you know, to tap into a particular emotion.
Yeah, he's just politicky, because I remember the first interview that we had here on Cliff Central back when you guys started. I wasn't here right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because Gareth had no interest in sport. But Gareth actually said to him, so must white people be worried about the EFF? And he said, no, we'll take all voters. The white people don't have to worry about,
yes,
anything.
Yeah.
We're not racist yet.
Yes, yes.
And then you go into more rural settings where this is, and people are obviously, you know, quite impoverished, and they're really looking for something great to hang on to. And he's going, yeah, it's this white monopoly capital,
yeah,
which is fair enough. That is a gender in itself. Let's, yeah, not completely, you know, attack him or whatever his beliefs are. But then he goes to say that white people mustn't clap their hands for the EFF.
Yeah.
Let's see what else he's got to say in the same speech.
It's like when we travel in a car and we get a puncture, we stop and fix the tire, but the journey continues. What is the journey? The defeat of white monopoly capital, the defeat of the Rupert, the defeat of the Oppenheimers.
Now, I just got to stop right there. The Ruperts were always against apartheid. They create loads of jobs. They create lots of money overseas, bring it back into this country as well. So, again, it's like it's so easy to say white monopoly capital, but let's not cherry pick what's going on here. I mean, some people actually did a lot for this country. And as much as it pains people to say, yeah, okay, well, see, I can't accept that because then I can't use generalization. And this is where it becomes dangerous again. Like, generalizing these things is just so inaccurate.
Well, yes, but there was a time where, and I think it happened on the show with Gareth, where, you know, he pressed Julius Malema on this issue of always attacking this white monopoly capital. And, you know, Julia said, listen, when we speak about white monopoly capital, we're obviously not talking about the Ben Karpinskis of the world, unless, you know, you have accumulated so much wealth then that we don't know about. You know, Julius Malema said he's not talking to you. He's talking to literally those few groups of white people, you know, who do still, you know, who are still in this very protected club,
yeah,
where they,
which is fair,
yeah. I mean, that's how he explained it the one time. I'm not speaking on behalf of the man here.
Yeah.
Want your castle owned by black people? We will not chase white people to the sea. We will give them potion. This is over second, piece by piece. That's where you stay. And you can't own bigger than us. You are a visitor. Visitors must live. They must know that the land belongs to the people of South Africa, the indigenous people of South Africa. We will never keep quiet. The struggle was formed for the land. The ANC was formed for the land. It has always been about the land. The PAC was formed for the land. So we are continuing with the journey of those who came before us. This is not a Malema issue. It's a generational matter. For as long as the land is not in the hands of black people, we remain a conquered nation. We are conquered. We are defeated. 1994 means nothing without the land. Victory will only be victory if the land is restored in the hands of rightful owners. And rightful owners unashamedly is black people. No white person is a rightful owner of the land here in South Africa and the whole of African continent. This is our continent. It belongs to us.
It just sounds too easy, huh? It just sounds too easy. You can have these blanket political things. I'm not picking on Julius here. It's more about the fact that all politicians are spreading this kind of shit because they want to get popularity with people to get them in power.
Well, this is why we shouldn't trust a single politician.
Exactly. That's where I'm going with all of this. So we've seen Donald throwing off all kinds of wonderful things, and it seems to have worked with the American population. So Julius will then continue to campaign. And I'm sure the rest of the world, people who are on the outskirts in politics, will go, well, hang on a second. If these guys are doing this, maybe I should spread some other stuff as well. Who knows what I can do? Because like all of these things can galvanize people who are not having a good time of things right now. America's pissed off. That's why they're voting for Trump. They're pissed off and they don't like Hillary. They don't like Trump, but they're pissed off and they hate the opposition.
And politicians know that they can play on our emotions and our feelings as voters, and that is why they continue to do so.
Yeah, so there's the moral of the story today, kids. Don't trust politicians and just keep doing good things. Eventually everything will balance out, hopefully. Anyway, we're getting up close to the end of the show. We're going to come back and tell you exactly what's on the rest of the day, and I've got something else to share with you on top of that.
At Conflagration Asset Management, we'll give you back 60% less than you should get when you retire. We never stop working to charge you management fees, performance fees, administration fees, and trading costs. Because when it comes to making money off your retirement, we're in this together.
At Signia, we won't help ourselves to 60% of your retirement money because we use revolutionary technology to eliminate unnecessary fees. Talk to your financial advisor or go to signia.co.za. That's SYGNIA. Signia Asset Management is an authorized FSP. T's and C's apply.
This is CliffCentral.com.
So I see we got the Frankly Speaking guys outside the studio. Now, if you haven't heard us before, Frankly Speaking, well, they're, you know, just a middle of the road kind of show. They say very sort of meek and mild things. They're just everyone's friend, really. I mean, if you've never seen a more agreeable show ever. I mean, these guys, they've got the ability to just be friends with everyone. Rory Sang Shawalala, it has been a while. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm all right.
You said the Rupert's are good people?
I said in a business sense, they made lots of money outside the country, brought it in, create lots of jobs, from one understanding. You've got something contrary, I'm sure.
I don't know. I was about to use a Hitler example. I was just going to hear, Hitler and Volkswagen. Was that a fantastic thing? Oh, we've got Volkswagen now. How many jobs does Volkswagen create?
Have you got numbers?
I don't know.
Sorry, I see you grabbing at your phone.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. When was it when was it created? Under which regime?
Under the Nazi regime.
Aha. Uh-huh. Does that make it right?
Okay, so there we go. This is what Frankly Speaking is all about. Rory, I wanted to get your and Andrew's thoughts just very quickly before you guys get into a show on Cliff Central. The American elections, I mean, is this a big surprise for you guys, considering the fact that you guys are sort of more left-leaning?
Me and Andrew are in two minds about this. I'm just shocked. I can't engage with what's happening right now. It's just too much. But our show is going to focus on, you know, we keep speaking about how this is just irrational by Trump voters. But let's wait a minute. If why do we assume that we've got the monopoly on rationality? If these are rational people taking rational decisions, what is it that we're seeing in the world that we refuse to see because we're just saying now it's irrational? It's similar with how we view Zuma voters here, right? We're like, oh no, these people don't think, they're uneducated and whatever, and that's not true. So there's something we're refusing to see because we're writing these people off. What is it? What are we seeing here?
That's a damn good question.
But that is something that I always battle with this, and I don't really ready myself into politics that much, but it's like, what is the norm? What is an idiot nowadays? All these kind of different things, because we hear various things and people get dismissed on a status quo kind of backing.
Yeah.
Well, that's a difficult question to answer, because nobody ever assumes that they themselves are an idiot, right?
Well, of course not. I mean, I'm not, for one.
Yeah, that right there is a problem for me.
I just think that this is the kind of shakeup that maybe all politics and all societies need, because we're always creating new norms, and we don't even know what it is because none of us are really paying attention to it.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I'm wondering whether it's not the new norm is we're going through a class revolt, and we're going through a class revolt across the world, right? Brexit could have been a class revolt. This is probably a class revolt because the blue collar white workers are the ones who are mostly voting for Trump, or that was at least what was said. In South Africa, we're seeing the blue collar as well. So maybe it's just a class revolt that we're seeing, and because we're on the wrong side of that class revolt, we just refuse to see it. So we just are the great unwashed are taking over. That's my view. Andrew's got a different view. He thinks this whole thing should break so that we can fix it again. I'm like, wait. We know what Noah's Ark, what happened with Noah's Ark. The whole thing broke, but no one survived, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like there's so many delicate conversation points, and everyone's got to say, because nowadays there is no norm, there is no middle line, I don't think. So as much as, I mean, this is why your guy's show seems to always get people's backs up, or you get a lot of people agreeing with you, because there is no real middle in the world anymore, I don't think.
I think Ben, actually, you know what, the best answer I can give is I don't know. We've got an expert coming in. He's going to try and weigh in on it, but I don't think he knows either. I don't think anyone knows. So the pollsters had all their projections. They got it wrong. No one understands this, and it's probably more on the emotional side, because polls are typically driven by the objective. What we're seeing now, the reason why the pollsters are getting it wrong is probably because this doesn't fit into any model. It's not an objective thing. It's not quantitative. There's a lot of just qualitative things that are happening in people's hearts that are driving all of this. And it's not just white voters in the US, right? There are a lot of black people that supported Trump as well. So it boggles the mind, and we just refuse to engage with it.
Well, it does boggle the mind, because Gareth's there right now, and he's saying he's met some Hispanic people who are really all behind Trump and Pence. This is so weird. So that's Frankly Speaking on cliffcentral.com, touchcentral.fm. We've got Ari and Kat, they're going to be with us. But Michael, tomorrow, what have we got in store for the show here?
Justice Malala comes in to keep us up to date.
Fiery with the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's. And our other guest?
And then on a lighter side of life, we have comedian Donovan Goliath coming in just to cheer us up a bit.
Yeah, look, we're going to need some cheering up.
He's got a job ahead of him there, huh? That's it for today. Well, by tomorrow we'll have all the results, obviously, for who the new American president is. Gareth will probably not be with us because he's going to be in transit. So you've got us again, and he'll be back full steam next Monday. But yeah, from what I can tell by CNN electoral map, Trump 247, Clinton 215. If you're into it, you're not into it. Either way, it's going to grab the news. It's going to grab you by the attention strands.
Or if, you know, if Donald Trump has its way, it's going to grab you by the other part.
well, if he's president, can he actually say that and everyone be okay with it?
Sure.
Because you're president, you can do what you want.
Yeah, sure. And they voted him in, so they'll be fine with it.
Well, okay. Well, that's enough politics for one day for me. My head's about to explode.
Yeah, really.
Catch you back tomorrow. It's been great having you with us. Thanks so much.
This is CliffCentral.com.